It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another fine edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hello there, Daniel.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey,
or good morning.
You're bringing us something brand new this week. I don't think we've talked about this in several years of doing this radio show. It's something called covert personality disorder.
Covert personality disorders, they're kind of all the rave, and I've written some articles on personality disorders, you know, and we've talked about personality disorders, but I want today to just kind of step in here and address this, because this is pretty corny stuff, and we don't need to be going in this direction, and so I'm going to actually wrote a small article on this, and I will read that in a minute, but as you know, as I've said before, practically all of the diagnoses, and in particular today we're talking about the so-called personality diagnoses, these don't arise from scientific research. We didn't uncover these like cancer or, you know, physical diseases. Yet they've got the classification of disorders. And so lay people tend to think of them as something like a cancer or something like that. They even have these very loose references to, you know, they say they are mildly genetic. So it's just kind of spinning words. Talk about twin studies that they indicate that they're moderately somewhat, and you know, they're either genetic or they're not. They're not moderately genetic, and there are so many other ways to the more logical ways to explain it. Anyway, that aside, they don't arise from scientific research. They arise from just a history of just general observations. We look and see how people act, and we put them into categories. And categories, as I've said before, are only as useful as they are misleading. I'll explain that a little later here today. So I wanted to get into this. So let me just quickly review the personality disorders. So there are 10 of them, and they come in three groups. So I'm going to go through these, and bear in mind what we're talking about here today is covert. And you know what covert means? That means
undermine,
not very apparent, you know.
And secretive.
So, yeah, and so these personality disorders are blurred anyway, because they are just superimposed over material. The categories themselves are not real. They're superimposed over the material. It would be like if you, you know, I use a simple illustration of sweeping dust into 10 equal piles. In order to make these categories work, you have to kind of fudge here and fudge there on the information. So they're really blurred, and in every category, there will be a whole section on what they call differential, which is explaining to you how this particular disorder is not that disorder, even though it might sometimes look like it. And so it's one of these things where the borders are very blurred because the categories, in fact, are superimposed. So if we say, if we start talking about, well, covert, not only are they blurred to begin with, but covert, we're blurring them even more.
Yeah, it sounds like a niche of a niche of a niche.
Splitting hairs. And so what's going to happen is eventually we are all going to be mentally ill.
But,
you know, if you covert, you know, and then pretty soon. So here we have these, of course, the first category, with category A, is the bizarre and eccentric, three of those, paranoid, schizoid, and schizotypical. The second one is the B cluster, which is dramatic and erratic, and then those would be the antisocial, the borderline, the histrionic, and the narcissistic. And then the C cluster is the anxious and fearful, which is the avoidant, the dependent, and the obsessive compulsive. So let me just take, for example, one of these. I'm just going to pick on the schizoid personality disorder. It sounds pretty frightening. So let me just read through what this actually is. So this designates a natural tendency to direct attention toward one's inner life. Now, that doesn't sound too dangerous. I know a lot of people, you know, we call people introverts, direct towards one's inner life and away from the external world. A person with schizoid personality disorder is detached and aloof, prone to introspection. Nothing really dangerous about that. And fantasy. Well, but you don't have to have both. If we're going to make this a covert personality disorder, I could cherry pick anything here, and I could say, okay, attention to the one's inner life. Oh, well, that would be quite a few Christians, in fact. Or I could say prone toward introspection. Well, there's a lot of people like that. So if I just wanted to make this a covert where it's doesn't really seem like the disorder, but in fact it is, it's schizoid personality disorder on the sly, so to speak, then I could cherry pick, and here we go on, has no desire for social, sexual relationships, and is indifferent to others and to social norms and to conventions, lacks emotional response. Again, I could cherry pick and say, I know a lot of lifetime single people who are not attracted towards sexual relationships. A lot of missionaries, single missionaries. There's a competing theory here about people with schizoid personality. This is interesting. They are, in fact, highly sensitive and rich with a rich inner life. They experience deep longings for intimacy, but find initiating and maintaining close relationships too difficult or stressful, and so they retreat into their inner world. And that begins to describe many, many people. Again, lifelong single people.
And so lifelong single people are schizophrenic? I mean, that seems like quite quite a leap.
Well, it's not schizophrenic, it's schizoid, which
schizoid.
Is, yeah, the more schizophrenic would be schizotypical or schizotypal. Yeah, going on here, they rarely present medical attention. They rarely come in for counseling for this because, despite their reluctance to form close relationships, they are generally well-functioning and quite untroubled by their... So we read through this and we say, okay, those people don't seem too disordered. I mean, you know, if you think about... And I've counseled a number of men who... and have members of my family who were never married, and they function. They're highly functioning, normal people. But if we expand and conflate this definition of this into a covert personality disorder, they would get caught in the dragnet, and so would you and I. If we took all 10 of these and conflated them all into covert personality disorders.
So what is the reason for why they're making this distinction? It seems like a distinction without a difference kind of thing going on here. Why do you think people are... This is the medical community or psychological community.
Well, certain
community
ones, and when I've looked online, it seems to be most or a bunch of them, and I haven't looked at them all. But the ones that I brought up were from Australia. Now
Would Australia be into this?
I don't know, but my general theory is they just have too much time on their hands. When I was in my master's program, there was one instructor there that referred to bean counters. And these are people who are very meticulous about diagnosing, and they just get their head into it. They're just fascinated by being able to diagnose, and they'd love to diagnose everyone with something. And so these are people, I think, with just too much time on their hands, and they get their teeth on a stick like a dog, and they just won't let go of it, and they start spending their time doing this, and it's like looking at snowflakes. They just get fascinated by this thing, and pretty soon it becomes a theme, and it's not going to be long before they'll realize, good, I could do this to all of the personality disorders. They could all be covert. And I could expand them, and then you'll be right back where you started before you superimpose the 10 personality disorders over the normal population to begin with. Because that's really what we're doing. We're talking about the normal population. So I have people who, I'm going to read an article here when we get into our second bit here. But, yeah, I have people who, couples who have come in and say, you know, I think my wife is something, or I think, you know, I think my wife is bipolar. Or
they've already looked it up on the internet.
And yeah, or I think my husband is narcissistic, or I think my husband is, you know, and they'll catch, you know, one aspect of this. Like, for example, the one that I just read, they might say, he or she has attention toward the inner life. They're more of a, what did I use the term here? Or lacks emotional response. I've heard wives and husbands say that about one another. Or seems to be introspective, you know. And so, you know, I think he or she has a personality disorder because they seem introspective.
Mm-hmm.
So the real dangerous thing here is that once we start labeling one another, it starts to undermine the whole very necessary foundation of respect and honor and admiration.
Because you can just kind of pigeonhole people.
Yeah.
Well, that guy's doing that because he's a covert narcissist.
Yeah, and once we name it and we think we see it, it's hard not to see it. It's like, it's hard to pretend we did not see it, you know. And had a radio show some time back where we talked about couples going beyond the point of no return.
Mm.
And a lot of times this is part of it, pigeonholing the other person or finding a label for the other person. You know, seek and you shall find. I look for a fault. I find the fault. I label the fault.
Mm-hmm.
And now it becomes, you know, factual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to back out of that and regain those fundamental things of respect and honor and admiration.
Because this guy's always going to be a covert narcissist.
This gal. They've had it go both ways.
They're always going to be paranoid. Yeah. They're always, because it's just part of who they are, and I don't want to live with that anymore. Yeah. Yeah, that's happening a lot. Okay, well, interesting discussion this week. Not just personality disorders, but covert personality disorders. Daniel's going to be getting into that with an article here in just a moment. If you're struggling with this, maybe you know somebody who is, you need counseling, you need marriage counseling. Daniel does a lot of marriage counseling. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, interesting discussion this week talking about the covert personality disorders. And who knew? But I guess a lot of people in Australia talk about this. And Daniel, you brought this to our attention this week. Did you? You said you actually had somebody who came in and kind of self-diagnosed.
Oh, I have a lot of
marriage, and they come in and throw around these terms.
Yeah, I have. That's not uncommon where that will be. They will help me out.
I think my husband has covert narcissistic disorder.
Or a covert, borderline or, borderline or bipolar or something like that. So they think they're helping me out by, you know, let me give you a little background before we get started and here's the diagnosis and here's, it doesn't help me. I don't need it, and it doesn't help them. It's a barrier to what we're to our objective.
Keep them
really
stuck.
Sure. So here's an article that I wrote on this, and this one's on covert narcissism. And I looked at this, and I was just dumbfounded at what I saw and the intensity that they're going after this thing with. But so here's my article: covert narcissism. What is it? Did you ever read the children's fable, The Emperor's New Clothes? According to the story, if memory serves, a vain emperor became privy to the work of a tailor who claimed he could make clothing from material so fine and exquisite it would be invisible to people of lesser understanding. The emperor ordered a royal costume to be made for him from this material. When the royal costume was finished, the emperor tried it on. Of course, the emperor saw that it fit to perfection. As he paraded his new costume through the streets, his subjects, not wanting to appear of lesser understanding, seemed mesmerized by the royal costume until a youngster cried, "The emperor has no clothes!" Of course, you can see narcissism all through this story. However, I don't intend the fable as an example of narcissism, rather as an example of how gullible people can be. And if you take the time to consider the implications of that statement, you might rightly get the notion that narcissism, that is, egocentrism, is rather universal, depending upon how broadly you conflate the term. What appealed to the emperor about the clothing? Why did his subjects insist that they also saw the clothes? What about the scheming tailor? To wit, have you noticed of late the term covert narcissist more frequently being dropped here and springing up there? I have too. It was bad enough when people started throwing the term narcissist around as if they knew what they were talking about. Half of the married couples I see have each other diagnosed as narcissists. And I've explained in my Christian Counselor's Forum article, Personality Disorders, The Myth, these terms are not definitive. They are manufactured, loosely descriptive, shadowy, and vague. They are like this indiscreet dragnet. They include parts of us all. And if that ain't bad enough, now we have covert narcissism. What is that? Well, it's to catch all of us who weren't caught by the first net. It's narcissism on the sly, narcissism that doesn't look like narcissism. It's narcissism that doesn't quite meet the criteria for narcissism. What? I often say that categories are only as useful as they are misleading. Categories are useful because they manipulate information. They ignore facts and they conflate the ideology. Take the elementary example of many shades of gray, or any color for that matter. You tell me you have a gray car. I ask you what shade of gray. Dark gray, you say. I ask you what shade of dark gray. You never get around to telling me the ratio of black to white pigment, or if there are other colors in the gray. Warm gray, cool gray, blue gray, red gray. And even if you could, I wouldn't be any closer to visualizing the particular shade of gray. So we speak categorically, imprecisely, perhaps even incorrectly. Narcissism, like all terms referred to in the so-called personality disorders, is an indiscreet dragnet. It's not a disease. It's a manufactured term that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. One wife thinks her husband's a covert narcissist because he acts shy. One YouTube expert stated that the first indicator you're living with a covert narcissist is that you're researching covert narcissist. So if your spouse thinks you might be a covert narcissist, chances are that he or she is right. How is that for empirical criterion? Another person gets labeled narcissist because he or she is stubborn. Someone else is labeled because she spends too much money or because he doesn't do chores around the house. What are these? Are they symptoms of covert narcissism? They are if you fashion and conflate the term to include them, but that's nothing more than manipulating information. There's nothing at all objective in that. It's wholly subjective. I'll tell you what we have here. Behaviors, pure and simple. Behaviors that follow from the same defense mechanisms we all manifest in some way or other, personality. In other words, we all want to be valued. We all want to have control of our own lives, and we all want adequate resources. These are the essentials of safety and security, fundamental to us all. Our behaviors are simply the means we deem necessary to ensure these things. However, with effort, our beliefs, and thus our emotions, and thus our behaviors, can be modified in a trusting environment. No need for open-ended manufactured terms that do nothing to point to treatment, and in fact, exacerbate the dysfunction by increasing shame, suspicion, resentment, and an uncalled-for, unsubstantiated sense of permanency. I'll tell you something else. As loosely as the term narcissist is now being treated, The one suspecting his or her spouse of narcissism is likely to fall into the same diagnostic category. Mm. I imagine that if this idea of covert personality disorder keeps gaining population with armchair psychologists, you'll soon be hearing about covert schizophrenic, covert dependent, covert avoidant, covert histrionic, covert paranoid, and it will get to where every man, woman, and child is clinically mentally ill or wondering about it. And loosely speaking, wouldn't that be a form of paranoia?
Yeah.
So I
pretty much nail it there. Basically, and your contention with so much of your Bible-based counseling is so many of these things are not illness. They're just maybe sin. Some people maybe are, you know, obviously some people are more narcissistic than others, but they just have a bigger ego, or they just are more self-centered than others.
And yeah, they're all fear and shame-based, mm-hmm. and that's our sinful nature. Mm-hmm. And we all spike in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people, as if you'll read, and I will encourage people to read, go to my the ChristianCounselorsForum.com, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and in the archives you'll find an article that is Personality Disorders, the Myth, and that'll explain how that we can spike in different areas, but it's basically the same. Some people do get locked up into a very disordered personality, as opposed to personality disorder or a disordered personality, where all of our thoughts and our behaviors and our perception of other people are tightly wrapped around our own defense mechanism.
Mm.
Now, that can be healed and changed in relationships. And the difficult part about people who are so disordered in their personalities is that relationships are the first thing you push away when your behaviors mm-hmm. and thoughts are tightly wrapped around your defense mechanism, which is the core of your personality. So that's all explained in that article.
Mm.
And it's a good article to read and explain here. But so I hope that I've done a good job here of explaining. I know that this this covert personality disorder thing is beginning to catch speed, and
I had never heard of it before.
Yeah. Oh, I think you'll be hearing about it.
That's the first one that mainly we're hearing about is covert narcissism.
Yeah,
that's the main one.
Yeah, that was probably the easiest targets. But now you'll start hearing it. It'll just catch on now once that's caught on
It sounds like a lot of these labels just become a person's identity.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they go, well, that's just the way I am. I'm a covert narcissist. And that's my, it sounds mm-hmm. like a lot of times it's just ways for more and more excuses, people mm-hmm. to say, that's just the way I am. And they get locked into this kind of identity. They've identified with it.
Or that's the way they might not own the title, but they'll own the symptoms.
Mm.
That's just the way I am. And there's some truth in that. The greater danger, I think, is for the spouse to say, that's just the way she is.
Mm.
That's just the way he is. And they don't even look at the behavior anymore as something that can be changed.
Mm. So they kind of put up with it,
They put up with it, or they use it. It's a way to devalue. It's a way of distancing. And the label just helps to kind of put it in concrete and seal it. That's the way this person is. And we have situations where someone's been labeled within the family, and they just are kind of the scapegoat, another model might say. All of the woes and troubles of the family are blamed on this person because they have this label. And so they almost don't have permission to change then.
Mm-hmm.
They almost don't have permission to change.
Either one.
Yeah.
The person who's got the diagnosis or the person who's trying to relate
with
them.
A form of codependency. Yeah.
Yeah,
and they
time.
Don't have the permission to change. Yeah,
yeah.
Sadly.
Covert narcissism. So many different, there are personality disorders.
Or disordered personalities.
Personalities. Mm-hmm. And again, you said these three basic areas were the bizarre eccentric, the dramatic erratic, and the mm-hmm. anxious fearful. Are these subheadings in the DSM? And
yeah, in fact, if you don't have that, you could actually Google 10 personality disorders. And if you can find this, I'd encourage you even to don't go to these 10 personality disorders with the idea of labeling your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Go to these and look and just see if you read through these. When one of the first classes in psych, going through this DSM, and the instructor said, "Yeah, this is before class opened, and we had just received these books, and so everybody's looking through the book." And the instructor said, "Yes, you're all in there."
Right.
And so if you look at these 10 personality disorders and just realize these are just observations through history, not of mm-hmm. conditions, but of people, of mm-hmm. a human behavior. It's mm-hmm. all in there.
Mm-hmm.
And very dangerous to pick a person and label them in a way and then make that some sort of permanent idea. That's just, I don't even like the DSM-4, but, I use it for billing purposes and that. But you hit it on the nail on the head earlier, Mark, when you said this is just our sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks different
mm-hmm.
ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you're struggling in your marriage, maybe some of these terms are coming up, you think that your spouse is a covert narcissist or whatever, Daniel would like to talk to you, give you some marital counseling, some help maybe to see things a little differently. Maybe you know a marriage that's struggling. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're also going to find this radio show and about 4 years of other radio shows and podcasts. I think I said Edmonds and Kirkland for offices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.